Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, as I said, Leo Varadkar joins us on the line now from Harvard University in Boston. Good morning, Leo Varadkar.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
I would like to speak to you about both Pope Francis and that visit here for the World Meeting of Families in 2018. Can we begin with the visit first? At what point in your term of office did the suggestion come about?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, just really wanted to extend my condolences to the wider Catholic family on Pope Francis's death. I suppose it wasn't unexpected, given he'd been ill for quite some time, but I think to all of us it came as quite a shock that it happened and that he's gone. I have to say, somebody I really admired as a person and also as a religious leader. To answer your question, I'm not sure I exactly remember the entire sequence. We knew that the World Meeting of the Families was happening. I think that was in 2018. And it wasn't entirely certain as to whether he was going to attend or not, but it was likely that he was because previous popes had attended those events. And relatively late in the day, I think it was the Archbishop of Dublin's office confirmed that it was happening. And that gave us and the wonderful people in the protocol department in the Department of Taoiseach a number of weeks or a number of months to organise it. But it all came together very well, I have to say.
Did you feel that it was at a kind of a difficult time, or maybe it was an opportunity to change the tune around church-state relations? Because for a very long time, you know, by 2018, the state had been cleaning up messes left to it by the church.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I have to say, it was one of the highlights of my time as Taoiseach. I was glad that happened. Relations between the church and state weren't very good for a number of reasons. There was obviously all the different scandals around child abuse and the various institutions, you know, modern baby homes, laundries, industrial schools. And then also we'd been misaligned from the church in a lot of ways on a lot of issues. You know, we had the abortion referendum, for example, earlier that year. So relations on lots of levels weren't brilliant. But I think I saw it, and I think the Pope Francis saw it as well, as an opportunity maybe for a bit of a reset to kind of shake hands again, if you like, and agree to have a more equal relationship, one that was more mutually respectful, you know, one where the church wasn't in charge of that relationship anymore in the way it was for most of our history, but also one where we were saying back that the church has a place in our society, that a huge number, even a majority of the country are Catholics, if not practicing Catholics, and the church still had a special role to play in our society, if not a formal one.
Okay. And how much of that, Leo, was implicit before he even arrived, or did the conversation between the two of you achieve that?
That there wasn't a huge amount that was prearranged. You know, the main purpose for him being there was to attend the World Meeting of the Families. But we did agree that there would be a state element, and that involved meeting President Higgins, involved an event in Dublin Castle. And also we were keen that he would not just be in Dublin, and he got to go to Knock, and that was very appropriate, I think, given the basilica there and the shrine. I think I'm right in saying that he had an interest in going to Northern Ireland, but that just wasn't possible at the time. I can't remember the exact details around that. But certainly the state occasion involved a chance for me to speak to him one-to-one. And then there's a wider event in St. Patrick's Hall where the presence is inaugurated, where we have all our big events, where he spoke and I spoke too.
How did the conversation go?
It was really good, I have to say. It was done through a translator. He has English, but isn't fluent in it. So it was done through an Italian translator. I remember him telling one of his jokes, which you've probably heard before. He says it in different ways, but it's he says you can negotiate with terrorists, but you can't negotiate with protocol, because at the time, of course, we were being ushered around the place and told where to sit and which direction to look, and all those things for events. So he used to tell that joke in different contexts. So it was protocol that we're at the blunt of it on this occasion. But one thing I found, you know, very informal, you know, bear in mind he's the head of church. He's also a monarch, you know, head of government, head of state of the Vatican City, and obviously has huge responsibilities, but was very colloquial in his language, you know, very informal, made the whole thing seem very relaxed, which I thought was great because I was a little bit nervous at first. And then we got to talk about different topics. Now, the topics would have been flagged in advance. You know, I was keen to talk to him about some things on behalf of the survivors of abuse, and talked to him about the institutions that we were investigating and the compensation packages and so on. But also,
how receptive
kind of wider
to that
issues
was he?
Too. Definitely listened, definitely heard, and was sort of keen that we follow it up between the two sides at official level. Now, that's quite normal in a tête-à-tête meeting like that. You'll raise the issues and you'll agree to pursue them further.
It didn't amount to much, though, at the end of the day, did it? Because I'm struck now, you know, just before his death, at the response of the religious orders here to redress.
Yeah, and look, that's been disappointing. I think, in fairness, one or two have stepped forward. Most have not.
One, Bon Secours, nothing from the rest, yeah.
Yeah, that's in relation to the mother and baby home institutions. Some have, you know, when it comes to other compensations. I was certainly listening yesterday to some of the groups that represent survivors, and they're, you know, they're disappointed with the follow up and the response so far. So look, I can't argue with them on that. The orders can speak for themselves, and. One thing he did, though, which I think was very significant, was that he asked for forgiveness. And I was there at the Mass in Phoenix Park where he did that. And I think that was a significant gesture. Could more have been done? Can more still be done? I think so. But I don't remember a Pope previously. I might be wrong, but I don't remember a Pope previously confessing to the sin of what had happened and seeking forgiveness. Okay. I don't think that was nothing.
You've spoken before about how there was absolutely no bother on him that Matt attended with you, and possibly the first meeting that he might have had with a partner of an openly gay head of state.
Maybe not the first, but one of the first, certainly.
The point is, it didn't take anything out of him whatsoever on a personal level. Had there been some apprehension about how the Vatican was going to deal with that?
I don't recall that being a big issue. Like, it was just a handshake, and, you know, he met my sister too. I'm sure we would have flagged in advance just in case there might be an issue or a surprise. Mm-hmm. But I don't recall there being any kind of difficulty. I think he may have met the Prime Minister of Luxembourg and his husband before, so perhaps it wasn't the first in that sense. But
how do you reflect on what he managed to achieve there? Because it wasn't long after he was made Pope that he said those famous words about who am I to judge in respect of homosexuals, and everybody thought, oh my God, this is a massive sea change in the attitude of the Church. But at the end of the day, what was achieved during his papacy was just the right to bless individual members of a single-sex marriage, but not the union itself.
I think the big change that he brought was twofold. He prioritised a pastoral approach to people over doctrine. Thought that it was most important to think about people's well-being, to think about the poor, to think about the marginalised, before you get into doctrine. And I think that was very significant, probably leaning on his Jesuit background, or perhaps even being South American, where liberation theology, was a strong feature of their form of Catholicism. You know, putting good works first ahead of doctrine. But the other thing is that I think for a lot of people, and certainly for me, you know, as somebody who was raised Catholic, who did my communion confirmation, but felt remote from the Church for a long time. I think the way he reached out to groups like ours, like LGBT people, did matter, and certainly made me feel more comfortable going to church services. And, you know, one thing he did, which I think was significant, was he spoke out against criminalisation of gay and lesbian people. You know, in Ireland, it's easy to forget that while there are 30 countries where gay people can get married, the 70 where it's still a crime. Mm. And for the Pope to speak out against that in places like Africa is actually of real significance. And bear in mind, at the moment in politics around the world, there are people who claim that God is on their side while they tried to reduce the rights of LGBT people, why they tried to treat migrants badly, while they try to deny climate action, and having a pope, the head of the largest Christian church, saying that refugees, should be sheltered, saying that our planet was sick and that we needed to act to save it, saying that LGBT people should not be criminalized, that did matter.
It mattered to you on a personal
level. And I do hope that his successor is of a similar mind.
Continues in the same vein. Usually these meetings come and go and people move on, but I gather that he continued to ask about you through Diarmaid Martin, Archbishop Diarmaid Martin. Did that surprise you?
A little bit. So, as Taoiseach, I would have met Diarmaid Martin every year. We had a tradition of meeting just after the new year. And he told me that a few times that Pope Francis would ask after me, and we've one other mutual friend as well. So we asked after each other. So I don't know what I said, or if I made an impression, or whether it was just small talk and being nice. But it was nice to hear, certainly.
Very good, Leo Varadkar. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.